good. Comfy. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Well, I think we left off on verse 6. Aham nitya bhimantayaha karta sautasya sadhanam karta sautasya sadhanam manastasya kriye antaha manastasya kriye antaha bahir vritti kramotite
bahir vritti kramotite
aham iti abhimanta yaha karta asau tasya sadhanam manaha tasya kriye antaha bahihi vritti krama uttite. Remember in the previous verse, in verse 5, it says, bondage, avichara kritaha bandaha. Bondage is brought about, is caused by really beginningless ajnanam in the form of avichara no viveka, lack of viveka, discriminating between the self and the atma and anatma. And so then he says, and it's removed, that bondage is removed, vicharena nivartate, it's removed by vichara. Vichara is, we mean viveka jnanam, or discriminative knowledge. Tasmat, therefore, jiva paramatma now sarvada eva vichariye. Therefore, one always has to do vichara, differentiate, do that viveka jnanam between the atma and the paramatma, between the jivatma and the paramatma, so that you recognize that the self, this me that I am, is actually the self of Ishwara, the self of all beings, rather than just a me that is identified with the upadis, the body, mind, sense organs. That has to be done. If that's not done, that means you're identified with something that is subject to birth and death and limitation, and you will never be happy with that. You'll never be happy with it because it's not who you are. That's the problem. If that's who you are, then everything would work accordingly. That's your dharma, that's who you are. Everything is fine. But that's not who you are. And so it doesn't make any sense. Nothing works. When you take yourself to be the opposite of who you really are, nothing works. Well, why would it work? It can't work. So therefore, we have to always, sarvada, you have to always do vichara until this problem is solved. And that's assuming, though, of course, that you're a mumukshu, because we've not been mumukshu since beginningless time. That's how long it takes. Beginningless time up until now, this life, we have most likely not been mumukshus. Maybe if we got this knowledge when we were really old and didn't have time to really assimilate it in the last life. So let's say in the last two lives, maybe. And before that beginningless time. It takes a long time to become a moksha. Crores and crores and crores of punya, you know. Crores and crores of lifetimes, not crores and crores. Crores and crores and crores of lifetimes of punya. So that I have that inner space, you know, to look inside and wonder really what's this all about. And need to know, not just as a philosophical question, oh, well, what do you think this is all about? No. As a real question, then you become a mumukshu. Here we are. Okay. So that being so, he's now in the context of this chapter, he's beginning that viveka. That viveka jnana. So here he says in verse 6, aham iti abhimanta yaha karata asau. This says, aham means I, so aham iti abhimanta. This word abhimanta, you can take it as, it comes from mantra, which means to think. But abhimanta means when the eye lands on something. So here, you have this thought in the form of I, but it's not just a free-floating thought. The I becomes an ahankara. Abhimanta means it lands on something. So this, if I say aham iti abhimanta, then it can land on the body. So then I become this body. Or I take that I to land on my mind. Or to land on the sense organs. Or any given upadi. So abhimanta isn't just a free-floating thinking. It's the actual identification of the I. Having the I land somewhere. So hear what it says. Aham iti, this word aham I. Abhimanta from abhimantra. It's abhimantra. It's nominative singular. So it says, the person, the one upon whom this abhimanta lands in terms of the upadi, that one, he says, asau karta. That is the karta. Because the sense of I is not going to land on something that doesn't itself enjoy consciousness. Because I am consciousness. And so the I, the aham, has to label me, you know, because otherwise, what, is it going to label a door or something that's unconscious or something that I'm looking at over here? Even though this physical body itself is not conscious, because a dead body is not conscious, still, as long as I'm inhabiting it, it enjoys consciousness. And so this abhimanta, this aham, has to land on this upadi. And I take the upadi now is what we call this karya karana sangata. Means it's called this collection. Sangata means like a group, a collection, beginning with the sukshma sharira, the subtle body, and this physical body, and then all of the things in between that make all of this up. This becomes the upadi, the jiva upadi, all of these things combined. But when I think of myself as this upadi, I am... As myself, I am the conscious being who wields this upadi. We can talk like that. We won't talk like that, but if we're teaching, I can talk like that. Like, I am the wielder of this conscious body. I can lift my arm, I can close my fist, I can talk when I want to, I can think about things. I can do so many things with this upadi. And because I can direct it in this way and that way, at least seemingly, I become what's called the karta. The doer. So the karta, if I say karta, it comes from this root kri, to do. So karta means the one who is the doer. So there's many types of doing. There's walking, talking, grasping, etc. But also we can think of, in a way, doership as the same as knowership, because I can be a seer, a hearer. These are all identification now with the pramanas. I become as though a jñātra, jñāta. So if I say karta, the one who's a doer, hands, feet, etc., I'm also the jñāta, the one who's a knower from the standpoint of the mind and the sense organs. So these functions are all because of the ahankara landing, the I thought landing on all of this. So it says, aham iti abhimanta, the one who has this, the one who gains this ahankara, that one becomes the karta. Right? From my own standpoint, I'm not a karta. I'm not a jnata. I'm not a knower. I'm not a seer. I'm not a doer, but to have knowership, to take knowership, doership, etc., onto myself, the aham has to land on the upadi. That's why abhimanta. See what I mean? Because that's not who you are at all. You know? That's all completely mithya. What does mithya mean? That this understanding satyam mithya is Vedanta. The whole Vedanta is in satyam mithya. And so, to understand satya mithya in terms of the ahankara, if we say everything including the ahankara, this I notion, is mithya. What that means is it exists within the creation. It exists within time and space. And so that means all of it. Just think like this. If you have a dream or an imagination, you take a form in the dream, for instance. And you're identified with somebody in the dream. That's you. When you're identified, that's you in the dream. You're the karta in the dream. You're the seer, you're the doer, you're the hearer. You're an entity, you've become an entity in the dream. But in reality, you haven't become an entity at all. Nothing has happened to yourself. Yourself has not become a dream character. Yourself just remains as the adhishtana of the whole dream, as the self of the whole dream. So to have the abhimanta means that this me is lands on something in the dream. And whatever it lands on in the dream, because a dream, you could land on a dog. You could land on an infant. You could land on a man or a woman. Or you can land on an image of yourself. You can land on anything. But whatever you land on, whatever the aham lands on, that becomes you. And you become whatever qualities that upadhi has. That's you. Not from the standpoint of yourself, but from the standpoint of the dream, right? And so, that being the case, he says, you become, in this situation, you become the karta, and then the karta, the one who's wielding this upadhi, just think of the dream or your imagination, the one who's wielding it, then has certain instruments that you wield. And so the main instrument for the karta that is your sadhana, your in here sadhana means instrument, is your mind. Right? So the mind is central. The mind directs the five jnanendriyas, the sense organs, but it also directs all of the organs of action, everything. So your ahankara, its central home is the mind. Because the mind, as long as it's an awake mind, reflects consciousness, and the ahankara is one of the four vrittis, the most used vritti, the most used category of vrittis that exist. Because the ahankara, remember the four vrittis? There's the citta, the memory, the manas, the fluctuating mind, the buddhi, you know, your intellect, and the ahankara. No vritti is used more than the ahankara. Because you are the one who's always here. Right? So you may be thinking or doing or running or grasping or happy or sad. That's all aham, 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 landing on the upadhi. So the manas, the mind, is the central karta, mithya karta, mithya because it has no independent reality apart from you. Otherwise, there'd be a conscious karta, a conscious mind. And then the satchitatma, myself. But there is no myself, the atma, the self, that is just me, pure conscious being, and another self that is the mind. There's not two selves. There's only one self. And so if there's only one self, that means there's only one conscious being. And just like in the dream, this one conscious me, right? From this one conscious me, the whole dream projects, and every single part of it is me. I am the Adhishtana of the whole thing. I am the me. There's only one me. This is where we get a little confused here. Because somehow, one mistake we make, just because of beginningless conditioning, is that, okay, that we're all one Atma. There's only one self. We're only one self. But I'm attached to me, this personal me. And the Atma, you know, the universal Atma, is kind of like, who wants that? Universal Atma. I want me. But then it's hard to realize that this personal me is Ishvara, that this personal me, that the me experience belongs to the self, not to Mithya. Mithya has no being at all. You know, it's like it's saying, oh, you know, the clay pot, you know, the clay really belongs to the pot. The clay doesn't belong to the pot. There is only clay. It's not like the pot has a little bit of clay. You know, I have my own little piece of clay, you have your own little piece of clay. There's no pieces of clay. There's only clay. That's Satyam Mithya. And so there's only me. This me experience belongs only to me. So think of the dream. The me experience that makes me is the self of the entire dream. That's why these dream and the imagination is so powerful of a drishtanta, because you can't deny. It's very obvious that the whole dream rests in you, that you are its adhishtana, you are its self, and there aren't two selves. There's many, many upadis included in one big upadi. So Bhagavan has made it this way so we can gain self-knowledge. Swami will joke like that. He's made it this way so that you can recognize the fact of it, you know, that all of this is only you. You're the Ishvara of your imagination. You're the Ishvara of your dream, because you are the whole and you're everything in between. That's our reality also, but we are not in this creation. We are stuck in the Jiva Upadi. And so we don't get to experience this Jiva Upadi within the Ishvara Upadi in the same way that we do in the dream Upadi. See what I mean? Because it's obvious to us in the dream Upadi, when the dream comes, that I am the whole. Or when the imagination comes, I am the whole. That's very, very simple and very obvious. What we have to realize here is that I am the whole in reference to every vritti I have, in reference to every experience I have. I am the adhishtana of all experience. All experience. All experience is mithya. There's only one adhishtana that is stable. That's a nice way to say it. There's only one thing that cannot be objectified, that doesn't change, that is stable. And so we'll say, well, how can I recognize Ishvara, though? How can I recognize Ishvara? You know? Swamiji says, well, every single thought you have is Ishvara. Every experience you have is Ishvara. Another extended way to recognize yourself as this Jiva Upadi within the creation is to just look at the totality of your experience, the Prarabdha Karma unfolding. You know, if so, that's the totality of your experience. You are a Jiva within that totality, yourself, and this is, you can see that this is your little mini projection of Ishvara. That is Bhagavan. So there is nothing that is not Bhagavan. So I have to recognize what is stable amidst all of my experience. But until that happens, this ahankara is naturally going to be there, because these upadis reflect consciousness. They manifest consciousness because of the sattva. And so there is no sattva experience that doesn't manifest consciousness. And so why wouldn't it say, I am consciousness, when there's no time when it isn't? So even though it's continually changing and coming into being and going out of being, it is never away from consciousness. And so that stability is always there. The me is always there. So, of course, the mind will say, I am that. I am that, whatever the sattva upadhi is, and whatever is its filling, like filling this body. So here, he says, okay, this karta has come. And the karta has for its main instrument the mind. And then he says, tasya sadhanam manaha. It has for its main instrument the manas, the mind, because vrittis. And he said, this mind, it has two functions, two kriyas. It has two things it does. And it does them in order. First, he makes it an order, so we have to explain that. He says, first, there's an antara vritti. There's an internal vritti, an inner vritti. It's directed inward. And then there's a bahihi vritti, directed outward. Right? So, and then he says, and they happen in succession. What that means is, so you take the mind is nothing but vrittis. It's not that there's something else there. There's vritti, vritti, vritti. Vritti really means an activity, mental activity. So every mental activity we call a vritti. Okay. Now, for every vritti that you have, what is always there is me. So that is first. The self, yourself, is the adhishtana, the conscious being, the me. That is the constant in every single vritti. You can't have a vritti without that being there, okay? Without consciousness being there. But then what happens is that the mind is directed. And as it's directed, the content, what we call the adem, we'll see in the next verse, the content, the external object comes. So you always have it, the constant first is the me, I, you know, the karta, I am doing this, I know that, I know, I see this, I hear that. These things, the external vrittis are continually changing. In any given vritti, right, it's like the vritti, every vritti divides into these two things, because there's consciousness in every vritti, and there's some sort of a subject matter in every vritti. Like saying right now, you're looking forward, so you're seeing a scene. There's two things happening. There's you, right, as the karta, as the knower, as the seer, and then there is what you're seeing. So what you're seeing, the object of what you're seeing, that's external, as though. And what is internal is the self who is seeing it. Subject, object, you know, the conscious being and the object of consciousness. So every vritti has this, you know. Every vritti can be divided into these two in these two ways until we get to just recognition of the self. Within samsara, every vritti has these two aspects, me and what I'm objectifying. So the antara vritti is me, you know, focused on the self, the ahankara, and the external vritti is focused on whatever the object that I'm directing my attention toward. Okay? So that's his introduction to kind of a little series here. So let's do the next verse. Antarmukhamityesha. Antarmukhamityesha. Vritikartara mulliket. Vritikartara mulliket. Bahirmukhedamityesha. Bahirmukhedamityesha. Bahyam vastvidamulliket. Bahyam vastvidamulliket. Antarmukha. It's actually one word, but if I broke it, it would be antahamukha. But we take it as antarmukha. Aham iti esha vrittihi kartaram ulliket. Then bahirmukha idam iti esha bahyam vastu idam ullikhet. He's just going in a little bit more detail of what he said in the previous verse. So he says, so for these two activities of the vrittis he's talking about, internal, one directed outward, one directed inward, he says, For the antaramukha, the vritti that is directed inward, okay, antara means in, mukha, or yeah, inner, mukha means facing, so facing in, antaramukha, aham iti esha vrittihi. This vritti that is facing inward is called aham. That gets the title of aham, because okay? it's directed toward the consciousness. That's what gives rise to the ahamkara. So there's a direction toward consciousness. And he says, this vritti that is directed inward, and what we call aham, he says, karataram ulikate. That gets designated, that vritti gives the experience of giving, of being a karta, a doer, a seer, because it's going to, by necessity, be in a direct, immediate relationship with whatever is the bahirmukha, the external content of the vritti. There's actually no way around that, because your being is the adhishtana of the vritti. You, this me, the me experience, is going to be the constant. And so if the vritti enjoys that constant of the satchit of me, then naturally I am going to be identified with that vritti, right? Because it's conscious being plus some sort of an image that's taking place depending upon your sense organs or what's going on in your mind. So I, as the aham, I become the one who's the director of the upadhi, basically. And so here he says, antaramukha aham iti esha vrittihi karataram ulikate. So this type of the inner, with the vritti turning toward, when it's turned toward consciousness, that becomes me, the doer, the seer, etc. But then he says, bahirmukha idam iti esha. But then the vritti that is directed facing outward, he said, this vritti is what we call the idam vritti. There's the aham vritti and the idam vritti. The aham vritti is where the vritti is directed as the ahankara toward myself. Okay? Without knowledge, if I don't have self-knowledge, then it's not the word that we use is ahankara. If I have self-knowledge, then I recognize myself as the atma. There's no ahankara there, it's just me. But if I have ajnanam, then the same me, or the one who is the jnani, becomes the ahankara. Very same self is the self for the jnani and the ahankara for the ajnani. Because I don't have any vichara, there's no viveka, there's no discrimination between me and the mind. The problem is with the mind, not with the self. The mind is the one that needs to be taught, that vichara, that viveka has to take place, where you realize, oh my gosh, everything I've taken to be me is actually continually changing and objectifying and coming and going. I'm never changing in any way. I have to recognize that profound stability of my being. If I recognize, I say profound because there's no other possibility for it. I have to...
Oh.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Please come in.
Thank you. Okay.
I haven't seen you for a long time. Let's go over there somewhere. Let's go. So the very one, because we don't have a prior for ajnani, somebody who doesn't have self-knowledge, has no prior condition of having knowledge. So it's not like there was a time prior to gaining knowledge that you knew yourself as you are. In reality, the experience you have of yourself, the self-experience, is exactly the same. for a jnani and an ajnani. There's not two self-experiences, there's only one. And that's why when a person gains knowledge, the recognition is, I've never not been. I have always been this. Nothing has happened, you know, except this ajnanam has dropped, you know, that has caused me, that aviveka from the standpoint of the mind that has caused my mind to totally identify with that which is absolutely, profoundly changeless. Now I recognize that, but until that viveka, that discriminative knowledge takes place, I don't recognize it. That means my self-experience is always there through the lens of my body, my mind, my sense organs, my moods, and my emotions. And so therefore, like a kaleidoscope kind of, I'm always changing because I don't have any discrimination between the constancy of myself as the Adhishtana and all of the changes that are going on. So all of these things, like even the japa that we do, different meditation techniques, we were talking about earlier this today about japa a little bit. These are all meditative devices to kind of bolster up what you see at the time of teaching to recognize that the changeless nature of yourself, so that you're no longer just seeing yourself from the standpoint of the changing mind or the changing emotions, but rather you're seeing the changing mind, the changing vrittis, the changing emotions all taking place in the stability of you, of yourself, which never changes in any way. And then when you say aham, the aham is landing on you. And then if you say, I'm going to the store, that's the mithya ahankara. But it's mithya ahankara, not the mithya aham. You know? The ahankara is the mithya aham, word of jnani. Means it's real for you, you know, but you don't. For the jnani, it would be mithya aham. For you, it would be. For the ajnani, it would be aham. Means I am this. And there's no doubt about it until you start questioning it. And so, what he says here is, in any given vritti, your self is there. When the vritti is directed inward, then it's only you. And that's true. It's only you. You know who you are experientially. You don't know that you're Brahman, you know. You don't know that you're the self of all beings. But you know who you are. Swamiji calls this, or the Vedanta calls it, samanya jnanam. You have the general, immediate recognition, aparoksha, general, immediate recognition of you, who you actually are experientially. But this vishesha jnanam, this particular knowledge that this you is the adhishtana of the creation, is the very self of all beings, is the very self from which the whole creation has come? I have no idea. But the self that is that, I know completely experientially as me. I just think that because of the ajnanam, because of the ahankara, that this me is attached to this body and therefore subject to birth and death. Or I can have a belief that it really travels with a subtle body, with a sukshma sharira, but I'm not sure. I just have shraddha in that. I don't really know. I have belief systems around my hopes and dreams for myself, you know, that there is no death or whatever, but I don't know. So that vishesha jnanam, that particular knowledge of who I actually am, is a lot different than samanya jnanam. Samanya jnanam is the general experience that then, because of no vishesha jnana, no particular experience, it can land on anything, you know. It can land on my body, it can land on the body, mind, sense organs, whatever. The thing to understand, though, is that it is you. It is Brahman, you who are Brahman, that the mind is taking to belong to itself and putting a false limitation on me that doesn't have any reality at all. That's why when you die, Lanak Steve Jobs said, When he kind of passed, wow, you know, experienced that with another elderly friend that had passed away. And as he passed away, as he left, he just lit up, you know, like that, just totally lit up. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist or an agnostic. you know, or have Shraddha, you still don't die. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe in. The reality is that nothing happens. And so that's a very pleasant surprise. I'm still here. You know. Oh, it's very nice. Okay. So now he says, so the internal one creates the karta, the internal antaramukha. So this type of vritti directed inward, that becomes the karta, the doer. The bahirmukha, the one facing outward, becomes the idam. Idam is this. This is a word that stands for anything that can be objectified. So I can say, oh, look at these beautiful flowers, or, you know, here's a nice heater. This is not me. Right? I don't call me this. So there's I and this. And so this stands for anything in the creation. That's the idam vritti. And so the pronoun, this. So anything that is objectified is bahirmukha, facing outward. So that outward is kind of just a construct. It's either landing on me, or it's landing on something that can be objectified as this, as idam. So here, this idam vritti, bahirmukha idam ityesha bahim vastu idam mulike. Vastu means, this bahya vastu. Vastu means a thing. Like a thing, you know, when we start losing our grip on language and you say, can you bring me that thing? Or what's that thing over there? Okay. It's everything. That's a vastu. Vastu can be, anything's a thing. The only real thing is Brahman. But we just, as mitya, even though these are all infinitely divisible and there's no such thing as a thing, really, still in language we say this thing. These are all vastus. And so, what he says is bahirmukha idam ityesha bahya vastu idam ulikate. So we have these two choices. These are the two jobs of the vritti. Any vritti. I am there really as the changeless adhishtana that will take the form of the ahankara depending upon what kind of activity is going on in the vritti. It could be emotion. Emotion, then the antaramukha is I am sad, or I am happy, or I am agitated. That's emotional. Still, those are bahirmukha, because they're something that can take the idam. And then externally, through my sense organs, anything can take. I see this, I hear this, I'm walking there. So all of these activities are directed outward. and it's just really about the vritti being divided basically into two, and we'll see in a minute, into three parts. So now he's going to explain this further. Let's do it. Idamo ye visheshasyuhu. Idamo ye visheshasyuhu. Gandharuparasadayah. Asankaryenatan binyat. Granadindriya panchakam. Idamaha ye visheshaha suhu ganda rupa rasa adiha asankaryena tan binyat granadi indriya panchakam. For the idam vrittis, idamaha ye visheshaha. So for the idam vrittis, this. I'll translate this in a minute. Let me just explain it first. It's an easy concept. When we're looking at these idam vrittis, this. Remember when we went through all the panchikarana and all of this and the sattva elements, the five sense organs. The five sense organs are each sense organ belongs to one subtle element, like the ears are belong to space, to akasha, and vayu, and the touch belongs to vayu, etc. What we learned is that all of these sense organs, all five sense organs, are manifestations of the subtle aspect of each one of the five elements. And each one, each sense organ has its own specific job. Like, for instance, the job of my eyes is to see form. The job of my ears is to hear sound. Of my sense of touch is to feel things. So each sense organ has a particular job. It's got a particular vishaya, a particular subject, arena in which it's functioning. Like my ears, I don't use my ears for seeing, for instance. And so there, each one has its own specific job. But now these five individual streams of vishayas or of spheres of knowledge come into the mind, right, which is made of the conglomerate of the five subtle, the five sattvic aspects of each element, of the five elements. So you take the five subtle elements, the sattvic aspect, from each one together, that becomes the mind. And that's why when we look out and we're with our sense organs, all of these things are coming in together and mixed up in the mind to give a more complete picture. It's not like first you're sound comes, you know, and then we have to wait, and now the sight comes. They all come into the mind, which takes the whole stream of perceptions in together. And so, as he's developing this idea, what he's saying here is, remember there's two types of vrittis, the vritti that is focused just on me, on consciousness, that's antarmukha. That's where the ahankara comes from. And then the vrittis that are focused outward. So how are they focused outward? They're focused outward collectively by the mind. Every vritti is a combination of all of the data coming in, and also in a subtle aspect, you've got the chitta, you have your memories and your imaginations, and there's so many things that you can do with your mind and your emotions, but you also have the five, all the sense data coming in. So that's all bahir. That's all the external bahirmukha turned outward. And then we have to realize that you're getting a lot of your data from each one of the sense organs. So he's just trying to tell you what the field is for this external. If the vritti is turned external, what's the field? Well, the field is whatever the vrittis can do by themselves, which would be they can have memory, they can have imagination, you know, they can have emotions. And they can have a fluctuating mind. There's the buddhi. These are all functions that the antakarana can do. And then it can take in all of the sensory data also from the five sense organs. And then it takes it in from the five sense organs, each sense organ's giving its own specific data. So this is all he wants to say right now is, he says, the mind, he says, idamaha ye visheshaha syuhu ganda rupa rasa adyaha. He's separating now, saying, first of all, you get particular knowledge of everything external here from each one of the given sense organs. Each one gives something different. So the vishesha means that particular knowledge. And you see, and it becomes asankarayena, each one is separate. Each one gives its different things. Tan bin yat, dividing everything up. And so, like for instance, for ganda smell, you have grana. You have the sense of smell. For you have rupa for all four, you have the eyes, etc. And so, you take all you have. Everything is idam, 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 idam. But then, because of the sense organs, you get all of this vishesha jnanam. Samanya, okay, this is it. Samanya jnanam, just general knowledge. Well, here's something, this and this and this and this. That's samanya jnanam, just general. Another understanding for samanya jnanam is the same thing, but that how we really use it. If you mistake a snake for a rope, right, you have samanya jnanam of the rope. If say Swamiji will say like this, say two boys are walking along a path, right, and one, you know, sees a snake on the ground. He actually sees the snake, responds emotionally to the snake, jumps, falls on the ground. He feels he's been bit. Swamiji will go on, and good story about it, you know. But now, What did he actually see? He did not see the ropeness of the rope, but he saw the samanya jnanam of the rope. That's like all of the bends, right? Say it was 4 feet long, and it was an inch in diameter, or 2 inches, and it had 3 bends in it. He saw that, but he didn't see it as a rope. He saw it as a snake. So if there's samanya jnanam there, you know, that's just a general knowledge without knowing specifically the vishesha jnanam, what is actually there. Because he saw the same form. We have this, this is kind of our situation also. We have samanya jnanam of myself. I am a conscious being. And that conscious being is Brahman. My self-experience is Brahman. But that's vishesha jnanam. So if only the samanya jnanam is there, then anything that is sattva, reflecting consciousness, is kind of like the snake. Because I can take it to be me, because the snake, just like the snake is mitya, there's nothing there but the rope. Nothing. But we experience the snake. That's what we mean by mitya. That's maya. We experience the snake, but there's no snake there. It's not like there's some covering, little thin covering. There's no covering. There's no snake. There's only rope. But when you don't see the rope, that ajnanam, which causes you not to see the rope, has this twofold capacity. Ajnanam has the twofold capacity of covering and projecting. We have this situation. I am here, me, the one who is Brahman, the one from whom this whole creation has come, but I only have samanya jnanam. I only know that I'm a conscious being. That's knowing a lot, but then I don't know enough. Because this conscious being then can be taken to belong to this body. It can belong to a sukshma, subtle sukshma sharira that I have shraddha in. You know, it can take on all of the gunas, all of the qualities of this body. It takes on all of the emotions of this body, of the mind. It takes on all of these things. Why? Because they're mitya and they're not there's no distance. Like there's no distance from the rope. The snake has no distance from the rope. None of the upadhi has any distance from me at all. But I have no viveka. I have no vishesha jnanam. Viveka means I know myself as I am. Like the rope, I know the rope. So in this case, because it's my projection of the snake, if I know the rope, the snake just disappears. But this is Bhagavan's projection. So that's a kind of unique situation. Now, I recognize myself as I am. I gain vishesha jnanam of myself. Before I just had this general, I am a conscious being, but I don't know who I am. You know and you don't know. Samanya jnanam, I'm a conscious being. I exist, I'm conscious. But, you know, are you a conscious being because you have this body? You know, or how did the consciousness come about? Will it die when the body dies? Does it go to heaven and hell? Does it transmigrate? All these things. What is the relationship of this conscious being to your conscious being? Vishesha jnanam is absent. Just samanya jnanam. And so I both know and I don't know. I have samanya jnanam, but I don't have vishesha jnanam. That's the problem. And so, the whole pursuit. And you know it also. You know that you are and that you exist and you're a conscious being, you know, but you know that you don't know yourself. So that's a peculiar situation. You know and you don't know. Samanya jnanam and vishesha jnanam. Okay, so here, this vishesha jnanam, he's talking about still trying now in terms of your bahirmukha, all of these idamvritis coming in, showing that because of the sense organs, the pramanas that we have available to us, we actually get clear, specific knowledge. Not just idam, 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 idam. This. Because of our 5 sense organs, we get vishesha jnanam also, if it's directed. You see what I mean? Like I see much more than this. That's samanya jnanam. I see all of these idams, this, vishesha jnanam makes very clear what this is. Okay. Here I have Samanya Jnanam as the Ahankara. As I say like this, the Samanya Jnanam is as Aham, but the Aham as Samanya Jnanam only means, you know, I am and I exist, but who am I really? I need the Vishesha Jnanam, right? I know I am, I know I exist, but I want to know what's really going on. Who am I? Who am I in reference to you? Who am I in reference to God? What happens to me when the body drops? I need to know who I am. But it's not like I don't know who I am. I do know who I am, but I don't know who I am. That's the Samanya Vishesha. So, that being the case, he's just making clear how, in terms of our perception out here, how we get this Vishesha Jnanam, you know, that gives specific knowledge. The Adamvritti is that which looks out, but then we have all of these means of knowledge to fill all of these Namarupas with detail. Okay? So that's what we call Vishesha Jnanam. And so the different sense organs divide all of these up individually, give clarity about what each thing is, and all comes into the mind, which then is able to have a vritti, which brings in all of these sensory perceptions together. See what I mean? So you move from just the adamvritti to what you're actually seeing. That has to happen here internally for the antaramukha, or the ahankara. I can't survive on just samanya jnanam. I need the vishesha jnanam, or I need, this is Swamiji, or I need total ignorance. total ignorance is bliss. Deep sleep. No problem. But if you're experiencing all of this and the ahankara is there, then there's a problem, because you don't have vishesha jnanam. You take all these things that are not you at all to be yourself. Just like taking the rope to be the snake, because you've got samanya jnanam, you experience it, but you don't experience what it really is. That's the problem. That's why viveka. Okay, how did I do here? Okay, three today. That's it.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
I want to make one little announcement about our Shiva. It's, you know, we're going through a lot of changes coming and going, and Shiva's sometimes at night especially, he gets afraid. And so if you try to pet him, especially for you going through pet, I just be very cautious. Don't pet him or get very close to him at night, because he can't see or something, and he gets afraid, and he can strike out. He doesn't mean it, you know, because he'll do that even to people he's so close to and loves. But he gets frightened, and then he can cause some problems for us and for himself also. So in the daytime, you know, still you have to be careful of him. He's been wounded when he was younger, so he's such a beautiful dog. But we have to be a little cautious with him, especially now. It's hard for him probably too, because he can sense we're all moving and leaving. So he's our boy. Mm-hmm. I missed everybody. They're in my spa. My hospital spa. Everything's good, though.